The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
On ESPN Plus, I'm George Sedano in for Max today. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up at 2:30, Ramona Shelburne's going to stop by. We've got a lot of stuff to talk to her about in the NBA, including LeBron recruiting Steph. What? And then Ryan Clark. We got a lot of football. Woo! Got pro days. Yeah, we do. We got Aaron Rodgers. Maybe kind of moving on from the Packers, perhaps. Not this year, but maybe soon. Sooner than you think. So we'll get to that with Ryan Clark at 3:10. But first, it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And let's get to the aforementioned Aaron Rodgers. So here's the deal. This Rodgers versus Packers thing just continues, right? We saw this whole thing last year when they drafted Jordan Love, et cetera, et cetera. But I have breaking news before any of that. The breaking news is this, is that Aaron Rodgers is going to guest host on Jeopardy. But also breaking news is Aaron Rodgers' Packers career could be in Jeopardy as well. So look, I'll be real on this. This feels like this upcoming season with Aaron and the Packers is going to be kind of our version in the NFL of The Last Dance. And now, I don't know if there's going to be film crews. I mean, NFL films, I guess, is always there, right? I don't know if there's going to be film crews, though, following him around. But this really has that feel. And it's funny because we spent the entire summer during a pandemic going, oh, man, there's no sports. What are we going to do? And what was there for us? The Last Dance, 30 for 30 on ESPN. And we were able to see all the stuff, the infighting, the lead up, the build up, the ups and downs of that crazy last season with the Bulls. And you may think I'm exaggerating or I'm being hyperbolic, but I truly feel we are headed down that kind of path with this Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers marriage. So why do I think that? I'll tell you. Mark Murphy, the Packers team president, did a Zoom call with the media yesterday, like he probably does all the time, right? Especially the way the NFL is now. I mean, it is a year-round sport. So you're constantly with your connection points to the media and the public, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Mark Murphy, the Packers team president, does this Zoom call with the media about the 17-game season, right? Big story yesterday. NFL's going to 17 games. More football, more football, more football. We want to consume as much football as possible. Safety be damned. However, we still want to consume football, okay? All right, so that's what Mark Murphy thinks we're talking about, the Packers team president. And then, lo and behold, he starts getting peppered with questions about, hey, why hasn't the team extended Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, well, you know, we're not going to get into that. Well, why is the team restructured? I mean, this thing kind of got uncomfortable. Guys, let me hear Mark Murphy with the media yesterday.
Why haven't you guys done anything with Aaron's contract yet?
No, I can't really get into specific players. Yeah, we've been able to create room with others.
Don't you guys want to ensure, though, that he's your quarterback beyond just this season?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics again. Good try, though, Rob.
Okay.
What the hell? Good try, though, Rob? I mean, it's not gotcha journalism, Mark Murphy. Rob Domofsky of ESPN is doing his job. Hey, the reigning MVP of the National Football League is probably going into a potential lame duck type situation. Okay? Perhaps. I understand in theory he's under contract through 2023, but we all know how these contracts are structured and they're not always, you know, that airtight in that regard, particularly when it goes towards the player's side. On the owner's side, it's generally pretty airtight. Okay, so I think those are fair questions. No one's trying to get you. Okay, everyone's wondering. So you probably weren't expecting it because you thought this was going to be a rah-rah sis boom-ba type of moment where, hey, we're celebrating football. And no, Rob Domofsky is a pro, and Rob Domofsky knows what the audience wants, your fan base wants to know about, which is, hey, what's going on with the greatest player that may have ever played in this organization? I don't think that's a lot to ask, and I also don't think it was anything nefarious behind that, which made it made it feel that way. Good Lord, that thing got personal. But anyway, I've been a vocal critic of the Packers in the past. Okay, I've said it. I've said that Aaron has been dealt a tough card, or as tough a card, really, as any QB or even any star in pro sports. Why? Not because the Packers aren't a storied franchise. Not because the Packers don't have arguably the greatest fan base in the entire sports world. It's really because, unlike every other franchise in the NFL, the Packers don't have that one true owner. Now, I know for most people that's not, you know, earth-shattering news, but you're probably wondering, so why does that even matter? Like, they've been great for such a long stretch. Okay, they have. You know, they've had great, Ron Wolf was there for many years during the Favre years, Ted Thompson for a stretch. You know, now this particular group with, you know, Mark Murphy as the CEO, they've done a great job. But it hasn't always been that. I mean, there were a lot of years before those guys where it was really, really, really bad. But anyway, I think Aaron's been dealt a tough card because they don't have a true owner. And again, why is that significant then, I guess, is what you're probably asking. Well, while there are plenty of owners that make things more challenging at times, Jerry Jones. But, you know, when you have a traditional front office ownership structure, it's easier to make decisions in a more timely fashion. When you deal with the Packers, here's how this thing goes. Now, this is according to a Mike Florio report in Pro Football Talk back in 2016, okay? The alleged structure is this. You shouldn't say alleged. The reported structure is this. The coach reports to the general manager within the Packers. The GM then reports to the CEO. The CEO, by the way, then reports to a 7-person executive committee, which he's one of them. But wait, there's more. Then that 7-person committee reports to a 43-person board of directors. Yeah, you heard that right. So how many layers is that? I lost count, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4 layers, each getting bigger as far as the number of people that are involved that have a say in the decision-making process. Listen, I'm generally a person that believes more smart people in a room is a good thing. I'm all about thoughtful and meaningful dialogue that helps make smart decisions, okay? In the Sedano household, we huddle up. And by we, it means I go hang out with my wife. I tell her about what I want to do. And then she makes the decision. And then I'm like, you know what? Happy life. Happy wife, happy life. That's what happens. Nonetheless, I digress. I do think that you should have a lot of smart people together to make big decisions. Probably should mute my computer as my phone decides to ring. Welcome to 2021 and the pandemic. All right, nonetheless, as I was saying, when it comes to football, though, you need to make quick decisions. You do. For example, how about when you're constructing a roster, right? You need to make quick decisions. Free agency, this person is moving. They're moving to the next team. They're going to visit several teams. We're one of them. How do we lock them in? If you can even get free agents to go there, which has been a challenge historically. A traditional ownership front office structure, yeah, that you don't have to deal with that stuff. There's a lot of red tape here. So unlike his contemporaries, Aaron just can't air his grievances or give his input to an owner who makes the ultimate call.
And look, fans, you guys get a lot of grief. We tell you all the time, you don't know anything. We, the media, right? Or the teams always know better. However, it seems fairly obvious that Aaron felt similarly to you. You, yes, you, the fan on draft night this past season. Remember that? When the Packers drafted Jordan Love? Now, fast forward to today, and we're going to find ourselves now in this situation with him on a year-to-year basis. It's a lot like Jordan, although I'm not saying he's Jordan, so the Jordanites need to relax. Don't at me, bro. But the way the cap stacks up right now, it may only be another year of this. The Packers have $161 million committed to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players for 2022. I mean, I know the TV money's coming in, but how much money are we talking about here? At most, $220 million? So then you have $60 million to construct the rest of your roster outside of 8 guys. That includes Aaron, by the way, at his cap number. So this is going to probably be that make-or-break year. I mean, look, it's a huge gamble. Huge, huge, huge gamble. Huge game of chicken with Aaron and the Packers. And don't get it twisted. It's absolutely a game of chicken. Neither side wants to look like the bad guy. Aaron doesn't want to ask out because it wouldn't be smart for him, his brand or his legacy. The Packers clearly don't want to look like they're pushing the legend out the door, especially the reigning MVP. So, I'm just saying, logic says, I get it, Packers, that getting out early, getting out a year early is better than a year late. Especially in the NFL. The Steelers and Pats did it forever. But look how they handled their legendary QBs. I mean, they begrudgingly brought Ben back in Pittsburgh. We'll see how that pans out. Ben looked okay to start the season. In the end, it didn't look so great. And then we saw the Brady-Patriots situation. And we know that, right? Tommy 1, Bill 0 so far. And not that I'm betting against Bill. He actually has age on his side, which is crazy when you think about, we're talking about a 68-year-old and a 43-year-old. But that's just simply coaching versus playing. But the Packers don't have a Belichick. That's the thing here. And if this is the last dance for Aaron, perhaps, you better know that this Jordan is someone you're going to love, man. That he's got the goods, this Jordan Love. Because the way we're seeing athletes age, a 38-year-old Aaron Rodgers could play 2 or 3 more years. Heck, maybe 5. Look at Brady. He's 43. I know that the grass always looks greener on the other side, but there's a reason it's a cliche. Because it's generally fairly accurate. Don't be New England. You don't have Bill Belichick, Green Bay. Remember what those years looked like before Brett Favre. There was like a decade between winning seasons. That's all I'm warning you about. All right? Just be careful. All right? All right. I'm going to get to LeBron and Steph. I don't know if you've heard this, but Brian Windhorst was talking about in his Hoop Collective podcast that LeBron could be recruiting Steph Curry. So Ramona Shelburne's going to join us in about 20 minutes, a little less than that, like 17 minutes. I'm George Sedano, by the way, in for Max Kellerman. And by the way, that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So I want to get into the game last night because I have sat here. I live in Los Angeles, and I have sat here and could not really believe what I'm seeing out of UCLA right now. This is a team that lost its last 4 games of the season, barely made it into the first 4, and then got stacked up against a Michigan State squad, and you're like, oh, Izzo in the tournament? Hell no. Man, they're going to be one and done. Like, when I filled out my bracket, you know how it had, like, the 11th line, right? And has both UCLA and Michigan State. And I picked that line because I said to myself, oh, well, you know, 2 blue blood programs, I'm good. Like, one of those going to advance beyond the traditional first round. And lo and behold, I didn't think that it would be that much further beyond the initial first round. UCLA, man, has been incredible. And they're a threat, guys. They've done it with defense, controlling the tempo. Guys are stepping up, their pace of play. They remind me of the grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies with Tony Allen and Zebo and Marc Gasol and Mike Conley and Lionel Hollins as their head coach. Like, that's what they remind me of. They are tough as hell. And their team embodies their coach's personality, Mick Cronin. And Mick was asked yesterday after the game about what it was like just to have this team go through this run. And here's what Mick Cronin had to say.
You know, it was a Big Ten battle royal game. Nobody could find an offensive rhythm. That was just a credit to the defenses. You know, it's just an unbelievably physical game. You know, it's hard to get bodies off of bodies. Obviously, for us, we rode Johnny as hard as we could with his scoring. But all the credit goes to the players. They've been unbelievable. You know, to hold Michigan to 49, that's two teams we've held under 50 in this tournament. We held Alabama to 65 in regulation and BYU to 60. Just an awesome, awesome effort by our kids, and all credit goes to them.
This dude, I've talked to him a million times, maybe not a million, a couple, on my radio show, my local radio show in LA, on ESPN 710, and he is intense, but also he's got more to him. Like, he gets those kids respect because he challenges them. When they were getting beat down in that Michigan State game early, he basically called them soft. And, you know, in today's day and age, I feel like it's such treacherous terrain to say stuff like that to kids. Because, man, I have gotten to that age. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I can't believe these words are going to be uttered out of my mouth. I am a 43-year-old man, and I'm just going to be like, you know, those young whippersnappers came after me. They're just not as tough as we are. But it's kind of true. Like, I'm sorry, millennials. I'm sorry. It is kind of true. I'm not saying you guys aren't tough, but sometimes you just let the stuff get under your skin too easy. Sometimes it's okay to be pushed. Like, I remember having a conversation with Shaq one time, and he said to me about his leadership style. He said, look, there were some guys, man, I could cuss out and get them to play better. And there were other guys, I had to pat them on the butt. And I think that, you know, if you're coaching at this level, you know what kind of buttons you can push. And Mick Cronin has pushed all the right buttons. And his players are balling. Johnny Juzang, the transfer for Kentucky, has been fantastic. He's been great. And now we got a situation where they're facing up against a Gonzaga team, and this is like a prize fight. You talk about contrasting styles. Good Lord. Gonzaga's the third fastest team from a pace perspective. UCLA 319th. I'm telling you, if there is one matchup you want to watch, it is this one when the tournament comes here back in a couple days. Because, man, this is like a bruiser versus a boxer. And UCLA, they are the bruisers. Gonzaga, man, that might be the smoothest offensive team I've seen play in college basketball in many, many years. They've got a guy, Jalen Suggs. That dude, that's a top five pick right there. Like, he is in control of the game in a way I haven't seen a young man that young be in control of the game in a long, long time. Like, you got to go back to, like, Chris Paul, Darren Williams, like that group, you know, Illinois, Wake Forest. Like, you got to go way back for me. Like, I think that dude is incredible. And I think this Gonzaga team is incredible. Now, if they win the whole thing, do I think that they're, you know, the greatest basketball team, college basketball team ever? No, I don't think that. I can't classify them as that. And don't get me wrong, I love their team. I just told you. But if they win, people are going to want to put them in that category of teams. And I don't know. I can't put them with UNLV. I can't put them with Billy Donovan's Florida teams. Al Horford, Joakim Noah, that group. Come on, Corey Brewer. Those are NBA dudes, and they were just crazy good. And look, there's nothing wrong with the fact that I know you beat Kansas. I know you've blown out everybody in the tournament. I just don't know if I can do that because of what it would take to get through the conference schedule. You know? There's going to be a loss in there somewhere. Speaking of losses, Warriors taking a lot of losses, man. And our guy Brian Windhorst stirred the hornet's nest when he was talking about LeBron recruiting Steph since the All-Star game. So I was on with Brian yesterday, and of course, we were on the jump. I was filling in for Rachel Nichols. And I had to bring this up. And look, if there's anything that always gets me is when Brian Windhorst says, let me tell you something about LeBron James. And boy, did he give me that. So listen up to what Brian had to say about this particular situation yesterday. Okay.
Let me tell you something about LeBron. Unless you're part of a very small select group of players, and Perk is in that group, but it's a small select group of players. You are either with LeBron or you're against him. If you're with him today, you're his buddy. If you're against him tomorrow, you're his enemy. Very, very few escape that sphere. Perk is a guy he always liked, but you know, I don't know why? Because he played with Perk when he was in high school, okay? He goes all the way back to a teenager with Perk. It's a very small number. So yeah, he was a fierce rival of Steph Curry 4 or 5 years ago for 5 years. If there's a window of an opportunity, 1%, 2%, that he can get Steph Curry on the Lakers, he's going to be his buddy. And if he re-signs with the Warriors and it closes the door, he'll be his enemy again. Just like a couple of years ago when Kyrie Irving was going to be a free agent, he made up with him for like 3-4 months. Then Kyrie goes, now he's his enemy again. This is how LeBron rolls. He's been rolling like this for 15 or 18 years, and it will not change. And this is just another file. He's going to try to get Steph. If he doesn't get him, we'll try to get somebody else.
All right. Brian was bringing the fire. We're going to ask Ramona Shelburne about that fire, ESPN NBA insider. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm George Sedano in for Max. But first, grab your peanuts and popcorn. Baseball is back. Last season, sure was different, but that doesn't mean it lacked excitement, and this year is poised to be even better. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you on the field with a free shot at a share of $1 million in total prizes. It's easy to play. Just pick 10 players, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. And look, there's no better way to put your baseball knowledge to the test than compete for a shot at $1 million throughout the week. With millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week, there's no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code MAX to get a free shot at a share of $1 million up for grabs this week. Or millions of dollars, pardon me, up for grabs this week for your with your first deposit. Promo code MAX to get a free shot at a share of millions of dollars with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Ramona Shelburne next. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio at ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Oh, yeah. There we go. We are going to California because I'm here, and our next guest, Ramona Shelburne, is going to join us in just a moment, ESPN NBA insider. By the way, we'll check in with Ryan Clark next hour live at LSU's Pro Day. It is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm George Sedano in L.A. for In for Max today. And we've got Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider, joining me on the Goodyear Hotline. So, Momo, that song was just for you, but I got windy yesterday on the jump. You know, talking about LeBron recruiting Steph, and I'm like, hey, we got to get Momo on to talk about this. Ramona, how do you feel when you hear those words? Now, we saw some of that at the All-Star game, but how do you feel when you hear LeBron recruiting Steph? Like, what goes through your mind there?
Well, okay, I love Brian Windhorst, and he is my friend, and he is the foremost authority in LeBron speak, okay? In what LeBron James does, thinks, says, why, and decoding LeBronisms, okay? And what LeBron James is great at, and I think you're pretty good at this too, because you spent like a number of years in South Florida with him decoding his tweets and his post-game press conferences and all that. LeBron is a master at saying something but retaining enough deniability to where if anybody decodes his message, you can say, what are you talking about? I was just tweeting. What are you talking about? But I don't know what you're saying. Okay?
He does. You are so right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, when I look at that, I saw the tweet and thought the exact same thing Brian Windhorst did. I was like, oh, that's something. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. I mean, they played against each other in the finals. Like, they played against each other for years. And there was, for a number of years, there was a little debate amongst us NBA types, right? Fans, a media type. Like, okay, who's more valuable? Because Steph would win MVPs. And he beat out LeBron for several of those. Okay. And I don't think that always fits well. And Steph is kind of the guy who, you know, you have this idea of, could he carry a team all by himself, or is he a function of being a perfect player in the perfect system for him alongside the perfect cast?
And would you call that a collaborative talent?
That is a collaborative talent. That's a nice way of putting it, George.
Okay. I stole it. Dave McMiniman had that once about
Got
Steph.
It.
And yep. Warriors, yep. Warriors fans still give him crap for it.
Yeah. Well, look, Steph is amazing, okay?
He
is one of the greatest players of his generation. And, okay, like when I always, this is how I think of Steph, and this is how I've always, you know, I take my cue in a lot of ways. When Steve Kerr told me this about 5-6 years ago, when he first got the job, okay, he said, Steph Curry to me is Tim Duncan. He is the foundational piece upon which you build a dynasty.
Wow.
Because he is a great teammate. He is a great touchstone to set the culture that you're trying to establish, a winning culture. And so let's go back. If you want to go back and rehash this debate, who do you go with, Duncan or Shaq? Who's more dominant? If you put Duncan on a different team, would he have the same success? I mean, right? It's a very similar kind of comparison amongst greatest players of their generation. And I think that's where Steph fits in for me. He is a great winner. He is a great player. He is, in my mind, the greatest shooter of all time. I don't know where you land on that one, but
yes.
I mean, it's hard to argue with him being the top shooter of all time. But he needs the right cast around him. He needs Klay Thompson, like a great defensive guard, big guard who can kind of cover up for some of his defensive liabilities. But also somebody who could stretch the floor next to him, give him room to operate. He needed a guy like Draymond as a playmaking four. I think that is a function of, you know, how the Warriors have played all these years, but also how LeBron's respect for Steph and thinking about him has grown over the years. Like, LeBron is a singular talent. You could put him on any team in the league and he would make them a contender. You could.
Yeah.
I mean, name a team that LeBron James would not immediately elevate into playoff contender status.
Yeah, no, there is none, for sure. There is none. So, Momo, let me ask you this, because I only have 2 minutes left here. So, Andre Drummond debuts tonight for the Lakers. Stephen A. had Jeannie Buss on, I believe, on his SportsCenter for the pregame. Or if not, it may have been on Stephen A.'s World. I may be mistaken on that. But nonetheless, you know, Drummond is playing. Jeannie Buss was talking to Stephen A., and they were talking about the Nets. And Jeannie said, bring it on. Now, you know Jeannie Buss. You've covered Jeannie Buss for a long time. You hear that and thought what?
Well, she didn't say it like you said it, George.
Did I do like a Gabrielle Union, like Kirsten Dunst, bring it on? Is that I go too strong?
Yeah.
Okay, fine,
yeah,
fine.
Mean,
go,
you put
go,
an
go.
Exclamation point at the end of that. Like, I think it was just a phrase.
All right, then you tell us. You tell us about it. Go ahead.
I mean, look, like, you know, Jeannie has put her team in a position to contend for championships. Like,
right.
She's hired the right people. They've done a lot of big moves, and they've found a way to continue to compete for championships year, like this year, next year, the last year. And I think that when you're the defending champ, it's kind of, you got to act like you got the swagger. Like, you're not afraid of anybody. You're the defending champ. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're acting like. And the only thing that caught my eye about it is that she has been very quiet since last year. She has not said a lot. She, other than the ring ceremony and other than like when she accepted the trophy in Orlando, she hasn't said a lot of things. She hasn't done a lot of interviews. And so I've noticed on Twitter, and especially that interview with Stephen A. was good. Okay, she did a first take a couple weeks ago. And she also, like on Twitter, she's been tweeting at Cameron Crowe, talking about Jerry Maguire. Have you seen all that? Like, we should recast that and redo a sequel. And, like, she posted a picture of her with Rob Pelinka and kind of like, he's the new Jerry Maguire. I mean, look, it's kind of like Jeannie Buss is kind of re-entering the public conversation.
Right.
That's what I've been noticing.
Okay. All right.
Whereas
so, and
in the
she's
past
confident.
Year and a half, I would say, really, the last year and a half, she has not been in the spotlight. She has deliberately ducked out of the spotlight. So I've noticed a little dipping the toe back in the water.
Good, good. Yeah, it's good. I mean, she's the mother of dragons, as Kobe called her one time, right? So there you go. That's good for her. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA.
At least you got a roar, right?
There you go, exactly. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider, joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Momo, thank you so much for the time. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, George.
All right, take care. All right, coming up next, we've got our No Doubt game, but Ramona Shelburne joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, celebrating March Deal Days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. So coming up, what's going on with Kevin Durant? No Doubt. We'll get to our game next here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max today. We're going to check in with our pal Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst, next hour, who's at LSU's Pro Day. By the way, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. And of course, time for the game.
Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, so here's our game. It's very simple. Max and Raj, I guess, play this every day. And a topic comes up. And the answer is either no doubt or nah, I'm good.
Nah.
So there you go. Bubba, you're going to play the game with me today. What do we got?
Yeah, you would think it's simple, but Max messes it up pretty much daily. So.
Really? Hold on. Yeah. How does he mess it up? Like, this seems
easy. He fails to say no doubt or nah, so... If you can at least do that, you'll be doing all right.
Come on, man. Good Lord. Kellerman, are we for real with this? Like, it's your game. Good Lord.
The bar is low. All right. Yeah. The news broke yesterday that we all knew was coming. George, are you a fan of the 17-game schedule for the NFL?
No doubt, okay?
No doubt.
Now, here's the deal. I believe that I am being selfish as hell when I say that, because it sure ain't my body out there, okay, getting busted up in car collisions, basically. But it is the number one show in America, the National Football League, and we love the violence of it. We love the scarcity of it. So I'm guilty as charged, man. For as much as it freaks me out about stuff and I wonder if I would ever let my kid play, man, I am in on watching it, and it's the gladiator sport of our time, so no doubt.
All right, we're less than a month away from the NFL draft. What about the Falcons? Should they trade down at number 4?
Nah. Okay, listen. I know Matt Ryan is under contract for another couple years, and that's a steep, steep deal that you have to eat. But if Justin Fields, who I'll get to in a minute, because I am big on the bandwagon for Justin Fields. If Justin Fields is there, you have to take that kid, okay? I'll explain in the next hour why I feel like you have to take that kid. But let's just say he is better than advertised in my estimation. The draft actually starts, Bubba, I think, with the Atlanta Falcons. So that's where I land on that.
All right, we're going to need your Los Angeles expertise here. USC only got to the Elite Eight. UCLA somehow to the Final Four. But USC has the better chance of making it to the Final Four again before UCLA. Your thoughts?
Nah.
Here's why. USC, Andy Enfield's a great coach. We saw his run at Florida Gulf Coast. He's had a good run here at USC. They're going to get, I think, I could be wrong, perhaps better NBA-ready talent than UCLA will under Mick Cronin, because I think Mick Cronin likes to recruit a certain style of player. Not to say that he can't have NBA players, but I'm talking about, like, skilled dudes like the Evan Mobley. And look, UCLA is the school here, Bubba, okay, when it comes to basketball. But I feel like Mick Cronin, again, likes a certain style of player. He wants a great college basketball team. He wants a college all-star team. I don't know if he necessarily needs an NBA team or NBA players to have real deal success at UCLA. They embody their coach's grittiness and toughness, and I think that's the type of player he wants. So I'm going to say nah on that, because it's still UCLA, and I think they're the better coach team, And I think they'll have enough talent to consistently be a power again, which, to be honest, college basketball needs, okay? They need UCLA, a blue blood program, to be good. What's next?
All right, opening day is tomorrow. We got a quadruple header on ESPN, plus Mets Nationals right here on ESPN Radio. So, George, are you pumped for some baseball?
Dude, I am so pumped for baseball, okay? So, no doubt.
No doubt.
See, I almost pulled the max and didn't actually say the phrase. So, you know what, Kellerman, I'm not going to make as much fun of you as I was anticipating to make fun of you of. This game is a little more tricky than I thought. Anyway, I'm super pumped, Bubba. Number one, the team I get to see each and every day here in Los Angeles is the Los Angeles Dodgers, the reigning World Series champions. And I'll tell you this, I think this team has a historic run in them. This Andrew Friedman, okay, let's not forget, Andrew Friedman, the president of the Dodgers now, was the guy who constructed that Tampa Bay Rays team that went to the World Series the first time with Evan Longoria in that group. And he did that with a shoestring budget. What is that dude going to do with a wide open purse? You know what I mean? Like, he drafts well. They sign smart free agents. I think they can break the single season record this year and go on this crazy run. I know baseball's hard. It's super random. But I have never seen a team this stacked. David Price is in the bullpen, man. And then, of course, I'm a Yankees guy. So my friends in L.A., they know this, listening to us on 710 ESPN in Los Angeles. But I just feel like the Yankees offense and their bolstered pitching is going to get that collision that we want, which is L.A., New York in the World Series, just like the old days when I was like 3 or 4. We need to see that in our lives for sure. That, to me, is where we need to go. So that's about it. That's all I got. We got any more? We've got to go here in a minute. Oh, yeah. We only got 30 seconds.
Yeah, so. I just don't think we have time.
Okay.
Maybe next hour if we have time, we'll circle back.
Yeah, we got a couple more questions. I got a lot to say, Bubba. I don't know if you realize
I'm just
that.
Glad you did the game correctly.
I did. See that? Take that, Kellerman.
Almost
take some notes.
Didn't. Almost didn't.
Almost, but I caught myself. So there's that. All right, coming up next, Ryan Clark's going to stop by to talk some LSU Pro Day. And, of course, I am going to tell you why Justin Fields is the guy to watch in this particular draft.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.